This is On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. Some people jokingly refer to the war between the states as the late unpleasantness, or maybe the war of northern aggression. How about the Civil War? Because as events in Charlottesville sadly echoed, it was anything but civil. And it's not something to joke about, either. What are the legitimate pleasures of being a Southerner? How do we deal with the realities of our history without winding up replaying them? With me now is Chuck Reese, editor of The Bitter Southerner, and also Regina Bradley, professor of African Diaspora Studies at Kennesaw State University. Hello, Chuck and Regina.
Hello there.
Both in the studio with me. And from a distance, we've got Sam Burnham, curator of the blog All the Biscuits in Georgia. Hi, Sam.
Hi.
Okay. I think we have to start with Confederate monuments and the Confederate flag, since that's the issue facing the nation. And I'm going to begin with you, Sam, because I know that you very much defend the idea that these monuments and these markers and these flags are part of heritage and shouldn't be taken down. Why?
Well, for me, I see that as it points us where we were. And I think if we're ever going to look at where we're going, we have to remember where we've come from. And I believe they play a role in telling our history. I think our history is so much bigger than that. The South has probably one of the most diverse histories of any region in our country. But I really just think that for so many Southerners, the monuments especially, now less so than the flags, play a role in telling our history and our story and knowing where we've come from.
Regina? You're shaking your head.
So let me go ahead and give my disclaimer that all of my opinions are my own.
Yes.
I don't want any drama. No, I mean, from that aspect, I do agree with Sam in the point that Southern history is very diverse. The problem that I have is that the Confederate memorials only represent a certain aspect of that. And there's not enough critical engagement about what that history is. So when we have these conversations about the South, particularly outside of the South, the Confederacy and the Civil War are the main cornerstones for how we think about Southernness, particularly Southern Black folks. And as a Southern Black person, I find it very problematic that we have these conversations, but yet fail to mention the fact that, yes, we have this diverse, complicated history, but part of that diverse, complicated history is slavery. And we just can't call it by its name. It's like, no, we don't want to talk about that. It's uncomfortable, but yet it's part of the foundation for why we had a civil war in the first place.
Okay, but let me play you a comment from one of our listeners, Chuck. This is Paul in Winterville, Georgia.
My name is Paul. I live in Winterville, Georgia. I've lived my whole life in the South. My family's been here since the early 1600s. All my relatives live in Georgia and adjoining states. And I understand that the South, the Southern colonies and Southeastern states have a four-century history. The Civil War is just 4 years out of. What I can't understand is why some Southerners feel that those 4 years, when people here decided it was all right to kill their fellow Americans in defense of a so-called right to own other human beings, is the best and highest emblem of our heritage.
So, in your opinion, Chuck, you're another hometown Southerner. I mean, dyed in the wool, right?
Right.
So, in terms of the Civil War, why has that become such a cornerstone of Southern identity?
Well, you know, it's interesting to me because I was listening to what Sam said about how the monuments, you know, they teach us about our history. They remind us about our history. Well, these monuments have been up since. They're put up primarily in the 1890s and in the 1920s. So most of them have been standing for at least in the neighborhood of a century or more. They were never teaching tools to me. No one ever used those monuments as teaching tools to me. Regina and I were talking about this in the green room before, but there's... I remember after the shootings at Emmanuel AME in Charleston 2 years ago, can't remember what the headline was, but Ta-Nehisi Coates wrote a piece in which he excerpted all or most of the Confederate States secession declarations,
yeah.
Right? You read one paragraph into any of them, you know the purpose was to own other human beings. The purpose was the maintenance of slavery. And I was 52 when I saw that. I went to public schools. I went to the University of Georgia. I took all these history classes. No one had ever put that in front of me. If we were going to use these monuments as teaching tools, our teachers would have started a long time ago, and they didn't.
Okay, so Sam, let me, and look, I'm not asking you in any way, shape, or form to endorse the opinion of a white supremacist, but we're going to play you this comment from Robert Ray, speaking with Vice News, and he's talking about what the South means to him, why he was rioting, and the reason I'm playing it is because of this idea that the Confederate flag is not about the Civil War, but it's about Southern identity as being rebellious and standing up to authority. So here it is.
Well, for one thing, it means that we're showing to this parasitic class of anti-white vermin that this is our country. This country was built by our forefathers. It's sustained by us. It's going to remain our country.
Sam, you don't have to defend Robert Ray. But what about this idea of the rebel, the Southern rebel?
Okay, I think that there's a part of the Southern culture that says, you know, we're Southerners, and we don't listen to the opinions of all these other people out there from the other regions that, you know, they're the ones that are talking about we're marrying our cousins and living in log cabins and do we have electricity and indoor plumbing and things like that, that I imagine we're going to talk about further.
Yes.
But at the same time, what I'm hearing from this person is that the South is only about white Southerners. And that is to discount so much of our culture, of what, how the South was built over those four centuries that we heard mentioned in an earlier comment. I believe that there is a resistance. There is a, you know, the South has historically been the beat up stepkid of the United States or whatever. And, you know, we've just sort of had to live with that over our years, and we've earned a lot of it. But at the same time, I believe that there is something in that that says, you know what, we're still a little bit independent. We're still our own people. We're still our own region. And we don't have to take this abuse from, you know, the other areas of the country.
If you're just joining me, I'm speaking with Sam Burnham of the blog All the Biscuits in Georgia, Kennesaw State Professor Regina Bradley, and Bitter Southerner editor Chuck Reese. Okay. Regina, we were kind of dancing. We've mentioned a couple times the fact that history hasn't perhaps not been taught completely in the South. This is something that Trey Crowder talks about quite a bit. Trey Crowder is also known as the liberal redneck. Here he is in a video that reacting to the events in Charlottesville.
One of the saddest parts to me is I know these guys, they think they're patriots, you know, fighting for the real America with their swastikas and their Confederate flags. Man, I don't know that there's any symbol that's more inherently un-American than the Confederate flag.
So let's talk about the part of Southern identity which is the real red-blooded American.
The what?
Real America.
See, I've
made them all laugh.
From the two clips that you just played, Celeste, something was going through my head. There is this assumption that the South is monolithic. And this is, I'm not saying this is what Sam was saying. I actually agree with him in this aspect, is that there is a more diverse history behind that. The problem is that we've been packaged as this monolithic, everybody believes the same thing South. But as a Black Southerner, I cannot repeat this enough. We are often waved or connected or rolled into this assumption that, yeah, everybody was a rebel. How can I be a rebel as an enslaved person? My idea of rebellion was running away. You understand what I'm saying? So I really find it fascinating that we are continuing to have these conversations without acknowledging the fact that we have to own up to the aspect that we didn't allow everybody to rebel. It was to rebel in a particular type of narrative, to rebel in a particular type of way or experience without recognizing that, well, we're not exactly doing that for everybody who's in the South.
But then how do we, Chuck, how do we create a Southern identity that is inclusive?
I think many people have taken many steps for a great many years to create that kind of inclusive identity. When you talk about the idea of rebellion as a concept, to me, one of the best rebellions that ever happened in the South was when Booker T and the MGs got together. And I say that a lot, but it's the truth. It's like, you know, you take all this wonderful soul music that was made at Stax, and it was made by a band, the house band in there, two black kids and two white kids from Memphis. They couldn't walk down the street together. They couldn't go have a beer together. They couldn't go have a meal together. But they could go into that studio in Memphis, and they made music together, you know? You see these kinds of things in our foods. You see them in our culture, like the, you know, what we've been trying to do at the Bitter Southerner since we started it 4 years ago is point these things out to show how the best parts of Southern culture have arisen when people have crossed those lines and barriers that keep us apart. And to do that requires us to acknowledge what these symbols that we were all brought up with and that we walk down the street and see, you have to acknowledge that they don't represent the best of us.
All right, so Sam, let me play you another comment. This is from author Chuck Thompson, admittedly a Northerner. He actually would be okay with the South seceding, which nobody here is advocating, but here he is describing what he thinks is a strong aspect of Southern character.
A lot of Southerners bring to politics and bring to their lives and you know, not this sort of sense of diplomatic horse trading that most people engage in when they're involved in a conflict. I'll compromise a little, you get what you want, give me some of what I want. No, the evangelical mindset imbues in these guys this idea that we cannot compromise ever with infidels.
Sam, what about this idea of standing on principle and sticking to your principles without compromise? Is that a part of Southern identity?
I think it is on a broad scale, and I think that goes along all the spectrum, the various types of people that we find in the South, because again, it's a very diverse region. I think that there is something about that that says, you know, we're going to stand on what we believe is right. We're going to stick to it, and really, you know, defend ourselves and what we believe to be correct.
Regina,
what if what you believe to be correct is not correct?
Well, and I think that is a problem that we've run into throughout the South for a long time. It's a slow changing region, and it always has been. And I believe there are things that we've had to learn that we have done wrong as a people in the South, like slavery, like Jim Crow, like the resistance to the civil rights movement. Those are all things that we do need to be teaching and learning and understanding that sometimes that resistance to change is not a good thing. Just because it's part of our culture doesn't mean it's a good thing.
Okay, so we have a few tweets from listeners, and you're more than welcome to add your voice to this discussion. Nick Baum says, the old South is the current South. Taking down statues changes nothing. Never has there been so inexplicably smug a place. K.W. Oxnard says, the South has always been more politically diverse than many realize. I come from a long line of proud white Southern liberals. And Black Physicist says, Southern identity is probably socially problematic. Southern stereotypes are probably not nice. So if we were to create, they had this question bouncing around Twitter because someone from the South asked, look, if we get rid of the Confederate flag as a symbol of the South, what's going to replace it? I haven't heard any good suggestions on what would replace that as a symbol of the South. So let's brain meld on this. What could replace the Confederate flag, battle flag? Regina?
I don't necessarily know about a flag or a particular symbol. I feel like in this particular moment, we should be past uniform symbols of meaning representative of one major thing. One thing that I would suggest, however, is to have a more diverse representation of the South in pop culture. I can't stress this enough. We're an increasingly visual culture, so you have this whole debate about the new show that HBO has greenlighted called Confederate, which we don't really know what it's about. We just know what happened if the South was seceded and stayed. I'm not about that life. But, I mean, shows like Underground, for example.
Although you have the other one, Black America, from producer Will Packer, which is about what if we'd actually given African Americans their own states.
Right. So, I mean, to be able to have those diverse representations of not only, for me, not only Southern Blackness, but just Southernness in general, I think would be able to show that we are trying to be progressive in terms of not only how we market ourselves, because ultimately that's what we're doing, is marketing ourselves to a larger audience, but also how we are revising and considering what we are doing or where our place is in contemporary society.
Chuck, do we need a replacement for the Confederate battle flag?
I was having this discussion with my friend Patterson Hood from the Drive-By Truckers a few months ago, and we were talking about Booker T and the MGs, and he said, you put that on a flag, I'll fly it in my front yard. And, you know, in a way, he wasn't joking, because, you know, I'm with Regina. We should be past trying to find a symbol that represents this as a region. The point she makes is really, really important, because the examples of diversity in Southern culture are infinite almost, but they're not portrayed that way in the national media. You know, I saw that 25 years ago when I was covering the media business for Adweek magazine. It was any time you saw a magazine prototype or a television pilot that was about the South, you either got the polite garden party version or you got the hillbilly version. And those are the lenses the nation looks at us through. We are much more complex than that.
That is Chuck Reese. He's editor of The Bitter Southerner. We also spoke with Sam Burnham, curator of the blog All the Biscuits in Georgia. And Regina Bradley is professor of African Diaspora Studies at Kennesaw State. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.